Welcome to Verity Wealth Report with Stephen Ting from Verity Wealth Group. Planning for your financial future means navigating challenges like market volatility, inflation, and retirement income. Verity Wealth Report is here to help by addressing common financial concerns, sharing valuable strategies, and exploring ways you can work toward your financial goals. Now let's get started with Verity Wealth Report.
Hello and welcome to the Verity Wealth Report. My name is Stephen Ting from Verity Wealth Group. If you'd like more information about what you hear during our show today, give us a call at 626-650-9486 or visit us online at veritywealthgroup.com. And while at my website, be sure to click on our podcast page to check out our past shows. And also subscribe to our program on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or Amazon Music. Today, we're talking about something that's going to matter to a lot of people planning for retirement. The coming 2026 changes to IRAs and 401ks. Now, these updates aren't just technical tweaks buried in the fine print. They can create opportunities to save more, build more, and strengthen your long-term financial picture. But here's the key. These new opportunities only help if you understand some of the rules. And with 2026 bringing higher contribution limits, new withdrawal requirements, and a handful of adjustments tied to the Secure 2.0 and inflation, there's a lot to keep track of. One of the biggest shifts, a major change to catch-up contributions for high earners, which is something many people haven't even heard about yet. So during our show today, we'll be referencing a recent Kiplinger article, Six Changes to IRAs, 401ks, and HSAs in 2026. And to help me dig into all of this, let me bring in my co-host, Jacqueline Gladhill, who will gladly help me unpack all of this information that Congress has generously given to us.
Well, thank you, Stephen. And you're right. These changes are big and they're going to catch a lot of people off guard if they're not paying attention. This is a lot. But the good news is, like you said, there are real opportunities here. You know, higher contribution limits and clearer guidelines can make a meaningful difference for anyone trying to build a more solid retirement plan. And that catch-up contribution change for high earners, I mean, this is a big one. I think a lot of listeners are going to want to understand how it works and whether it affects them.
All right. Yeah, let's start with one of the biggest 2026 changes, and it's aimed directly at high earners who are 50 years old or above. Beginning in 2026, if you're in that group and you want to make catch-up contributions to your 401k, 403b, or your governmental 457b plan, those contributions can no longer be pre-taxed. They must now go into the Roth side of the plan, which means they're made on an after-tax basis. Now, this is pretty important shift. In the past, many high-earning savers relied on that upfront tax deduction when making catch-up contributions. But starting in 2026, that deduction disappears for anyone who meets the income threshold. Instead, the trade-off becomes you pay taxes on that money now, but qualified withdrawals in retirement become tax-free. So the benefit moves from the front end to the back end.
Well, this sounds really interesting, but I know a lot of our listeners are probably thinking, I mean, who does this apply to? So let's talk about that, because I'm guessing it's very specific.
It is. It most importantly, you have to meet both criteria. One is you're age 50 or older, or you'll turn 50 that year. And number two, your FICA wages from the prior calendar year, usually box 3 on your W-2, were over $150,000 with the employer sponsoring the plan. Now, if your 2025 FICA wages exceed $150,000 and you're at least 50, you won't be able to deduct your catch-up contributions anymore. That income threshold will adjust for inflation over time, but the rule itself is here to stay. And here's another important detail. In 2026, the catch-up limit is $8,000, up from $7,500 in 2025. If you're subject to the higher earner rule, that entire $8,000 must be designated as a Roth or after tax. There is no pre-tax option. And this part can really catch people by surprise. If your employer's plan doesn't offer a Roth feature, then high earners who fall under this rule simply won't be allowed to make catch-up contributions at all. So that's something worth checking out sooner rather than later.
Well, and that's a major change, Stephen. I mean, especially for people who were counting on those pre-tax contributions in their final working years. And I imagine a lot of listeners fall right around that $150,000 mark, close enough that they're not sure whether this applies to them or not.
Which is why this may be a good time to start having conversations with your plan administrator or your financial advisor, or even your tax professional. If you're near that income level or already above it, you want to understand how this mandatory Roth catch-up rule could impact your 2026 saving strategies. The earlier you plan for it, the smoother the transition will be. But all right, let's move on to another big change coming in 2026, which is the increased contribution limits for 401k, 403b, and 457b plans. We see these limits rise from time to time, but the 2026 adjustments are especially meaningful. Anytime those ceilings go up, it gives employees more room to build long-term savings.
And that's huge for anyone who's trying to maximize those final working years, especially people planning to use catch-up contributions, right?
Yeah, that's right. When those limits rise, it lets people put more of their income into tax-advantage accounts, which can boost long-term compounded growth. And depending on how they structure contributions, they may also get immediate tax benefits.
And the timing matters too. I mean, we keep hearing concerns about the Social Security Trust Fund and whether benefits could shift in the future.
That's part of why these higher limits are so important. Some experts suggest that people may need more personal savings to help offset any potential reductions later on. One estimate from the article suggests that someone might need about $138,000 in additional savings just to create the same income if Social Security is reduced using the 4% withdrawal rule.
Wow. I mean, that puts the whole contribution increase into perspective for sure.
Yeah, it really does. And since we're talking numbers, here is what 2026 looks like. Employee contributions under the age of 50. It's going to be $24,500, which is up from $23,500 from last year. Catch-up contributions for age 50 and above is $8,000, which is up from $7,500. And the total for age 50 and above is $32,500. There is a super catch-up for ages 60 to 63, and that's still $11,250. And the total for ages 60 to 63 is now $35,750.
Right. And that age 60 to 63, I mean, quote, super catch up, end quote, window is part of Secure 2.0. It's a temporary bump to help people nearing retirement save even more.
And for anyone who hasn't reviewed their contribution strategies lately, this is a good time to do so. These changes can give people real opportunities to strengthen their retirement plan heading into 2026. Now, let's shift over to IRAs, because traditional and Roth IRAs are also seeing some important updates for the year 2026. Now, one thing that trips people up is the important income rules around traditional IRAs. Not for contributing, but for deducting those contributions. There's no income limit to putting money into a traditional IRA, but the ability to deduct the contributions depends on your income and whether you or your spouse is covered by a workplace retirement plan.
Right. And that's where people sometimes get confused, because it's not just about your coverage. Your spouse's coverage can affect your deduction too.
Yeah, if you personally are not covered by a retirement plan at work, but your spouse is, you can still take the deduction. But your joint income determines whether you get the full deduction, a partial one, or none at all. And here's the simplest version. If neither of you is covered by a workplace plan, you can take the full deduction up to the annual limit, no matter what your modified adjusted gross income or MAGI happens to be.
So let's talk about numbers here, because that's what everyone really wants to know.
For 2026, the contribution limits look like this. Traditional or Roth IRA contributions under the age of 50, it is $7,500, which is up from $7,000 in 2025. Catch-up contributions for people ages over 50 is $1,100, which is up from $1,000. Now, the phase-out ranges for deducting traditional IRA contributions depend on your filing status and whether you're covered by a workplace plan. If you are covered by a plan at work, the 2026 phase-outs are for single or head of household, your full deduction at $81,000 or less, partial from $81,000 to $91,000, and no deduction at $91,001 or more. Now, for people married filing jointly or both spouses are covered, full deduction at $129,000 or less, and partial from $129,001 to $149,000, and no deduction at $149,001 or more. And for people married filing separately, full deduction below $10,000 and no deduction at $10,000 or above.
Wow, that is a lot to digest. And if only one spouse is covered by a workplace plan, you know, that opens up a different set of income thresholds. Is that correct?
It is. And in that case, for married couples filing jointly, the phase-out ranges are higher. Full deduction at $242,000 or less, and partial deduction from $242,001 to $252,000, and then no deduction at $252,000 or more. All of those numbers are up from 2025 limits.
Okay, and Roth IRAs still have their own separate income rules. So as you've told us before, Stephen, those don't affect deductions. They determine whether you can contribute at all.
Right. For 2026, the Roth IRA income phase-out ranges look like this. For single or head of household, it begins at $153,000 and ends at $168,000. Now, for married filing jointly, it begins at $242,000 and ends at $252,000. And lastly, married filing separately, the phase out is below $10,000, the same as previous years.
Okay, so the bottom line here is that IRAs are becoming a little more flexible in terms of contribution amounts, but people really need to understand where their income fits into these deduction and eligibility rules.
I agree. And with all of these adjustments happening in 2026, it's a good time to reevaluate your IRA strategy, especially if your income is near one of those phase-out ranges. Now that we've talked about personal retirement accounts like IRAs, let's shift to something just as important, which is retirement plans for small business owners and the self-employed. The 2026 changes actually offer some of the biggest opportunities for them. When contribution limits rise for plans like SEP IRAs or solo 401ks and simple IRAs, that's a powerful development. It means business owners can set aside more money in tax advantage accounts, not just for themselves, but also for their employees.
And that's a big deal, isn't it? Because small business owners don't always get the same built-in benefit that employees at larger companies do get. So when these limits increase, it really gives them room to build more security.
I think that's pretty well put. And there's another side to it. Higher contribution ceilings can help business owners maximize the deductions and make their benefit packages more competitive. That matters when you're trying to attract and retain good talent. Let's break down some of these new numbers for 2026.
All right, Stephen. So let's start with simple IRAs and simple 401ks.
For those plans, the 2026 limits look like this. Employee contribution limits are set at $17,000, which is $500 higher than 2025. Catch-up contributions for ages 50 to 59 and 64 and above is $4,000, also up about $500. And the super catch-up for ages 60 to 63 is $5,250, which stays the same as 2025. Now let's look at SEP IRAs. The maximum annual contribution in 2026 will be $72,000, up about $2,000 from 2025. And the annual compensation limit, $360,000, which is up about $10,000. And more importantly, SEP IRAs do not allow super catch-up contributions, unlike some other plans.
Okay, Stephen. And solo 401ks are always popular with self-employed listeners. So what's changing there?
Solo 401ks see several key updates in 2026. Here's the breakdown by different age groups. Employee contribution limits, for people under age 50, it's $24,500. And for people ages 50 to 59 or 64 and above, it's $32,500, which includes an $8,000 catch-up. And for people 60 to 63, it's $35,750, which includes a $11,250 super catch-up. Now, for employer contributions, it's up to 25% of compensation for all age groups. The total combined limit, employee plus employer, for under age 50, it's $72,000. Ages 50 to 59 and 64 and above, it's $80,000. And for people 60 to 63, it's $83,250. And there is one more important detail. In a solo 401k, you can contribute as both the employee and the employer. As the employer, your profit sharing contribution can be up to 25% of compensation after Social Security and Medicare taxes. And the overall compensation cap for 2026 is $360,000.
Wow. And that's a lot of opportunities, especially for self-employed people who want to make the most of their high earning years. These plans really do give them a chance to build a strong retirement foundation.
And with these higher limits, 2026 could be a great year for business owners to reevaluate their retirement savings strategies and make sure they're using the options all available to them.
Well, before we keep going with today's conversation, Stephen, can you please let our listeners know how they can schedule a complimentary consultation to ask questions or to get more information about this?
Just give us a call at 626-650-9486 or visit us online at veritywealthgroup.com. And scheduling a consultation really only takes a few minutes. We're always happy to work around your schedule.
Well, thank you. Now back to today's topic.
All right, let's take a quick look at one of the simpler but still important changes coming in 2026. And this one might actually show up right in your mailbox. Starting in 2026, defined contribution plans like 401ks must send participants at least one paper statement every year, unless you've specifically chosen to receive everything electronically.
So, even people who have been strictly digital up to now might suddenly see an envelope from their retirement plan provider?
Yep. Unless they've opted out, they'll get at least one paper statement annually. And for defined benefit plans like traditional pension style plans, the requirement is a little different. Those plans have to provide a paper statement at least once every 3 years.
It's a small change, but it does shift the experience back towards something more tangible. I mean, for some people, having that physical reminder can be really helpful in keeping track of their retirement progress.
And it's also a good cue to review some of your communication preferences. If you prefer everything digital, it's worth checking to make sure you've made the election before 2026 rolls around. Now, let's also highlight something that plays a big role both before and after retirement. Health savings accounts, or HSAs. Healthcare can be one of the toughest costs to manage, especially later in life. And HSAs are one of the most tax-advantaged ways to prepare for those expenses. If you're enrolled in a qualified high-deductible health plan, you can contribute to an HSA before you sign up for Medicare. What makes HSAs so powerful is the triple tax benefit. Your contributions go in pre-tax, or they're tax-deductible if you contribute after tax. The growth is tax-free, And withdrawals are tax-free as long as you use them for qualified medical expenses.
And after age 65, the rules shift a little bit, right, Stephen?
They do. After 65, you can still withdraw HSA funds for non-medical reasons without a penalty. The withdrawals are just taxed as ordinary income, which is similar to how traditional IRAs work. But if you use the funds for qualified medical expenses, they remain completely tax-free. Now, to even have an HSA, your plan has to meet certain criteria. That's where things like contribution limits, minimum deductibles, and maximum out-of-pocket amounts come into play.
And catch-up contributions work a bit differently with HSAs, too.
That's right. If you're aged 55 or older by the end of the tax year and you're not enrolled in Medicare, you can contribute an additional $1,000 as a catch-up. And if both spouses are 55 or older and not enrolled in Medicare, each person can use the catch-up. They just have to make those contributions in the separate HSA accounts. So let's walk through the official 2026 numbers for HSA-qualified high-deductible health plans. Self-only coverage, the maximum HSA contribution is $4,400. The minimum annual deductible is $1,700. And the maximum out-of-pocket limit is $8,500. Now, for family coverage, the maximum HSA contribution is $8,750. The minimum annual deductible is $3,400. And the maximum out-of-pocket limit is $17,000. And again, the catch-up contribution for individuals age 55 and over is $1,000.
Those are important figures, especially for people trying to decide whether a high deductible plan is a good fit. I mean, HSAs can be incredibly valuable, but only if the plan itself meets those eligibility rules.
And here's a helpful tip. You can use HSA funds tax-free for Medicare Part B and Part D premiums, as well as copays, deductibles, and coinsurance. Just keep in mind that Medigap premiums don't qualify. Those withdrawals would be taxable.
You know, after walking through all these changes from catch-up rules to IRA limits to HSA details, you know, it really shows how complicated retirement planning can truly be. These aren't small tweaks, and they're the kind of shifts that can change how people save, how they invest, and how they prepare for the long term.
Yeah, well, most of these updates are positive, including higher limits, more opportunities, more flexibility. They can also create some confusion. That's where working with a financial advisor can help make a huge difference. A lot of people don't realize how much strategy goes into choosing the right account, the right contribution level, or even the right timing.
Right. Because it's not just save more and hope for the best. It's about understanding what applies to you personally. Things like your age, your income, your workplace plan, and even your family situation.
A financial services professional can look at your entire picture, help you understand which of these 2026 changes can actually impact you. For example, whether the Roth catch-up rule applies, whether you're near one of the IRA phase-out ranges, or whether a high deductible plan makes sense based on your health needs.
And I imagine the guidance becomes even more valuable for business owners and the self-employed.
Definitely. Those plans have more moving parts, and the contribution limits are higher, so the stakes are higher too. Having someone walk you through the options can help you take full advantage of what's available, avoid mistakes, and stay aligned with your long-term goals.
Well, Stephen, we've had another great show today and lots to unpack here. Anything else before we close off for today?
Yeah, it was a lot of information, a lot of figures. So if you have questions about retirement or your financial strategy, visit us at VerityWealthGroup.com or call my office at 626-650-9486. We'd love to help you protect your savings and help you feel confident about the road ahead and also prepare for the 2026 changes upcoming.
Well, thank you for joining us today, listeners, for another episode of the Verity Wealth Report with Stephen Ting from Verity Wealth Group and me, your co-host, Jacqueline Gladhill.
Join us soon for another great episode of the Verity Wealth Report. We'll see you soon.
Thank you for joining us for Verity Wealth Report. Don't head into retirement without a plan for both your finances and your health. For more information, contact Stephen Tink at Verity Wealth Group at 626-650-9486 or visit veritywealthgroup.com. Join us again soon for another episode of Verity Wealth Report.
Stephen Ting offers investment advisory services through Gradient Advisors, LLC, Arden Hills, Minnesota, 877-885-0508, and SEC, Registered Investment Advisor. Gradient Advisors, LLC, and its advisors do not render tax, legal, or accounting advice. Verity Wealth Group is not a registered investment advisor and is independent of Gradient Advisors, LLC. Insurance products and services offered through Stephen Ting, independent agent. Verity Wealth Group, Stephen Ting, and Gradient Advisors, LLC are not affiliated with or endorsed by the Social Security Administration or any government agency. All matters discussed during this show are for informational purposes only. Each individual situation may vary and the opinions expressed here may not apply to everyone. Materials presented are believed to be from reliable sources and no representations can be made as to its accuracy. All ideas and information should be discussed in detail with one of our qualified representatives prior to implementation. We are not affiliated with or endorsed by the Social Security Administration, the Federal Medicare Program, or any other government agency. Calling this number will direct you to a licensed sales agent.